Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. And here is this week's iTunes review. It comes to you from Dub by V. She writes, "I love the podcast. You speak your mind and you don't sugarcoat anything. I love your energy and your good spirit." Oh, that just fills my heart. You don't even understand how much I enjoy these reviews. So please, if you feel the need, please go to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. Do me a favor and hit me up with a 5-star review. I absolutely love them. They mean the world to me, and I will read it on my podcast. So thank you so much, Dub by V. It does mean the world to me. Hey, Magic Makers, and welcome to a great episode. Today, I interviewed my friend, Andrea Johnson, and she is a marriage and family therapist. And today's conversation was about radical responsibility. And right now, I feel like the world needs that. You know, so many of us look outside of ourselves for answers, right? Who to blame? Who's bringing us shame? Who's doing it to us? Versus having the conversation of, you know, can I take ownership of my life? Can I break down the content of what's happening versus the context of what's happening? Can I set up some clear boundaries, things I'm no longer going to accept in my life? And today's talk, we really worked through and gave you some really actionable things you can do, from breath work, from books you can read, from asking yourself better questions. I want to say this has just been a very amazing conversation, and I would love to hear your feedback on it. So hit me up in the socials and let me know what you think. And if there's someone who needs to hear this conversation, do me a favor, screenshot this episode, tag them, and send them off to this episode so they can get the same experience that you have. So here's my conversation with Miss Andrea Johnson. All right, Magic Makers, Mary Queen of Scots. I'm always excited. So, you know, I'm just not even going to say that word. How about this? I'm vibrating right now, not in a dirty way. I have the opportunity to speak with Miss Andrea Johnson. Now, I'm going to call her Andrea Baker because I've known this little lady before she was married, before she was a mama. And so when I've known you that long, your maiden name sticks. But the one reason why I'm vibrating is I love when clients become friends and then they become collaborators. You know, this woman has been a marriage and family therapist for years. And a few weeks ago, she posted on Instagram talking about radical responsibility. And it was like the world stopped spinning for like 5 seconds. I was like, holy manoli, I have to talk about this, especially in these times. We have so much shit being thrown at us right now. And that's my timer to remind myself that I should be on a podcast right now. Because without timers, I'm like, oh, what time is it? All right, back to you. So she wrote about radical responsibility. And I was like, in this time of Corona, we need it because there's so many people we can blame. We could blame the president. We could blame the virus. We could blame our jobs. We can blame. But it's time we stood up and owned our own shit, our own responsibility, and our own role. And when she wrote all of this on Instagram, I was like, girlfriend, you need to be on my podcast. So please welcome Miss Andrea Johnson.
Yay. Thank you, Kim. I'm so excited to be on because like you said, we have been through a lot together. I mean, I think we've known each other for over 6 years now, at least.
Yeah, easily.
whoa, and you've been a big part of my growth. So I can't think of a place I'd rather be right now, honestly.
Yeah, it's funny when I love when, you know, because I have no children. So I love when I see, like, you know, everyone comes to me and they're grown adults, they're grown ass women. Some of them are like older than me. And I like watch their evolution of like their mindset shifts of like going from, can I do this, to holy shit, I'm doing it, to like, I'm crushing it. I love seeing that evolution when I work with clients.
Yes.
And one of the things I loved about you is that, you know, even though you are a marriage and family therapist, you know all the things, you've read all the things in the book, you still are like, you know what? I got work to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yes. And I think that that is something that I definitely, that's part of my message, because the work is never done. This is a journey, and we can know all the things, but until we implement those things, they're not going to impact our lives in a positive way. And so that's really what responsibility is to me. That is a big part of my story. And I'm sure a part of what you've seen in me as my former coach is just going from this place of victimhood into a place where, you know, I own my relationship with myself, with my life, and with the context of my world. And that's been one of the biggest things I work on with my own clients, because there's no movement in victimhood when we put ourselves in a place where we're not taking responsibility for our own world. Where does that leave us? Stuck, completely stuck.
Exactly. You know, it's funny that you said that about, you know, taking ownership. And one of my biggest challenges with so many people, you know, I work around health and fitness, absolutely. But I feel like, I think it's Yoda who says, how you do everything is how you do one thing is how you do everything. If it's not Yoda, it's somebody other than me. And I feel like that always pops up in people over and over again. You know, it's kind of like you're climbing the same fence over and over again, but you never make it to the top.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's just like, it's like I'm doggy paddling when all I have to do is just roll over and float and enjoy the ride and take it all in. And honestly, taking responsibility is less work than not.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a meme out there that a kid who's like, flailing around like they're drowning. And then all of a sudden the mom says, hey, stand up.
Oh.
And the kid stands up and he's like in like, you know, a teaspoon of water. And I feel like so many of us, and I'm going to say it's a woman thing because I see it way more than in women than men, just the overcomplication, you know, the level and the layers that in order to have healthy kids, I have to have the perfect nursery and I have to have the perfect, you know, buggy and I have to have the perfect carrier and the perfect in order, like, you know what, your kid is going to be really super happy sleeping in a box.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Yes. But people get so comfortable in that, I think, and it's avoiding really where the real work is. And I think one roadblock to responsibility is not understanding the difference between blame and responsibility. And that's a big one. And it's a very touchy subject for some because they don't know that differentiation. And so I think if you're okay with it, Kim, just really starting off with defining what this really means and the difference between blame and responsibility.
I love that because you're absolutely right. It's very easy for me to blame everybody but me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And even that, it's funny you say that because even self-blame, some people are more comfortable with than taking responsibility. It's a very different shift in mindset. And so self-blame is just as toxic as blaming everyone else. And if I'm not going to blame you, and I'm not going to blame me, then I'm going to blame them, right? Mm. Like the system, the world, the government, the president, like I'm going to blame somebody because some shit is screwed up right now.
Yep.
And somebody needs to take accountability, and I need to figure out who that is and place the blame on someone. And that mindset is always so, so rooted in just the need to be right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which leaves us in this place where we walk around with a chip on our shoulder, we're angry all the time. Once again, we're a victim, because what does blame do? Okay, so now I've blamed someone, whether it's them, whether it's you, whether it's me, now what?
Right.
I mean, okay, it still is going on, it's still happening. And so that shift into responsibility is into what can I learn from this? That's the antidote.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because people will say, okay, well, Andrea, there's bad things that happen all the time in the world, and there's true victims in this world. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
There are true victims. That child that's being abused is a true victim. However, when that child is 65 years old one day, my hope for that child is that they have developed responsibility for how they relate to their experience.
Right. And that's not the root of their life of, yes, I was abused, I was this, I was that. So therefore, I've lived my life this way. Now,
exactly.
As I say that, I want it also to be, maybe because that person was abused, they lived their life in a better way, a different way, because it empowered them to no longer stand in that victimhood.
Oh, yes. It doesn't define them, and it doesn't have that power over them throughout their whole lives, where it's literally, that's what's been in charge of the trajectory of their life.
Right.
So I think,
can we take a step back? So
yeah. You,
the first part you said blame. So I can easily blame myself, or I can blame, you know, anybody other than myself. Now, how, for some people, just the fact of blaming is, they stay there. They stay right there, mm-hmm, and don't cross that. What for some people could be like the Grand Canyon to get into that place of responsibility. So when, mm-hmm, someone, you know, you're working with a client and they're just, you know, circling the blame game,
yep,
you know, it's just round and round and round. Who isn't to blame other than, you know, who isn't to blame? And they're not, you know, how do we get out of that, the blame trajectory, and into, you know, starting to, you know, relax and say, you know what, I need to own something of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's one of the first steps, I think, is differentiating once again, between content and context.
So
content is what's happening, right? Content is what's going on. It's the facts of life, right? And context is how I see the content, my relationship with the content. So the content of right now is there's a virus. Coronavirus is going on. We're in a pandemic. That's the content. The context would be how I am relating to that experience of the content, right? How am I handling that? What is my process? What's my stories around it? And I think people sometimes, when they don't know the difference, it all becomes one. And that's when they feel like they have no control over their own life. So really, how am I seeing and relating to the content of what's going on in my life? So, and then accepting that. So there's actually this, a methodology, I guess you could call it, of a way of thinking about this and kind of checking on yourself and where you are. And that starts with literally the question, where am I? Where am I? And that is referencing below the line or above the line. Now, this is a really great visual. And for my own self and with my clients, a lot of times I will get a marker board out.
Right.
I will draw a straight horizontal line across the board. And as that person is talking and we're listening, and I'll stop and say, where are you right now?
Hmm.
And below the line means I'm reactive,
I love it.
I'm distracted. I'm rigid. I'm righteous. I'm angry. All of that is below the line. And above the line means I'm open to my experience. I'm present. I'm not trying to force myself into feeling a certain way. I'm able to accept my experience. I'm mindful right now. And so checking where you are is really important. And that's that context, right? So I'm so pissed off. My husband did this. He didn't take out the trash. He's not showing up in the way I need him to. Okay. Content.
Right.
Where are you with that?
Yeah. I love that because you're right. It is a way to help you to press the pause button.
Yeah.
And before things start to like spiral up, you can say, all right, hang on.
Yep.
What's happening?
Yeah.
You know, where are my thoughts? Where are my feelings? And I can say if my feelings are below the line, then I can start to, you know, self-coach myself, if you will, to be like, okay, how do I get above? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's me saying to my husband, you know what? It really pisses me off when you don't take out the trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus letting it snowball and I take out the trash and I'm just pissed.
Yes. Oh, and I love the way you put that. It's literally shifting your brain chemistry into getting present, right? And so when you go from, when you're below the line and you name that,
yeah,
you're using a different part of your brain.
Right.
So you're literally forcing yourself by just asking that one question, where am I?
Right.
Out of reactive mode and into observation mode. It's not even shifting yet. We're not right. even there yet. But just in and of itself of naming that and realizing where you are and becoming aware of that, you're automatically getting out of that reactive, contracted place.
But it also is my first step of saying, I have some responsibility in how I feel.
Oh, yes. Yes. Owning it. Yeah, for sure. And owning your experience, right? Because sometimes I know I do this. When I get all hot and fired up and ticked off at my sweet old dear innocent husband, my man bun, I feel how could he do this to me?
Right. And you're like, he didn't unload the dishwasher, but it's to me.
Right. He just disrespected me.
Right.
And that's a vicious cycle. And how all of this translates into relationships, which I definitely hope we dive into. But furthermore, after that question of where are you? And you go, okay, well, I'm below the line right now because I'm contracted and I'm reactive and I'm rigid and I'm trying to control.
Right.
Okay. Can I accept myself in this moment? Mm. That's the second question. Can I accept myself for being here right now?
Yeah.
And moving into, I'm not trying to change it. I'm observing it. It's almost like I'm floating above myself, looking down.
Right. So it's kind of like if you could like replay the, you're watching a TV show and you're kind of like, what would I do in that situation?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So then can I accept myself? Wow. Okay. This is really what's going on. I get curious. Okay. What triggered this?
You know, right.
I start really discovering what's happening within me. And once again, that's another step outside of reacting, outside of just going down, spiraling down that dark hole of blame, victimhood. I'm ticked off. He did this to me. They did this to me, whatever it is. And then once again, furthermore, the generalizations, all men suck. People suck. No, I'm alone. If I'm going to do anything, right, I need to do it myself. Like it's that whole spiral. It takes you down and it can happen quick.
Oh yeah. I mean, I could, you know, for me, I know I'm like, I go from 0 to 60. Like if we step on the like things that your husband does, like I could very easily get all wound up because he didn't put the spoon away from, you know, coffee.
Exactly.
And it
all of a sudden, a spoon that wasn't put away became, I don't know if he's the one for me.
Yeah, exactly. And you just start to like build and build and build and build. And you're, this is all happening probably within 5 minutes in your head. Yeah. And you're like pissed off. And he walks in, he's like, good morning. And you're, and he's like, what did I walk into?
Exactly. Totally caught off guard, right? Where you've just been living this alternate reality.
Yeah, for like 5 minutes.
Right.
While I'm pouring coffee.
And you're reacting to that. And that's a really good point, is that skill of knowing, okay, what's fact and what's not fact. So, okay, Kim, if you were to, you know, scrunch your eyebrows down and purse your lips, the fact is I'm looking at you right now and I say, wow, her eyebrows are tilted inward. Her eyes are squinty and her lips are pursed. And that's fact. I see that with my eyes. I can press record right now and record that face, right? Okay. Well, now what's my story I'm making up about that?
Right.
Right. So the story is different from the fact. The story that my mind goes to is, she's really pissed off at me. She's not pleasant with what I'm doing. She's not in a good place with what I'm saying. Yada, yada. Y'all, she's not actually making that face. I'm making this up. But it's differentiating the two. There's facts, things that I can see, things that I can hear for my own self. And then there's the thoughts about those facts, the stories that I make up about those facts that I'm responsible for.
Right.
Yeah. And so for all, you know, I know over there, you're pursing your lips and scrunching your eyebrows because, I don't know, it's really hot in there, right? Or
right.
you're sweating your balls off.
I'm sweating my balls off, or the fact that I haven't had my eyebrows done in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, and exactly. Whose eyebrows aren't all crazy, right?
Yours. All right. You guys can't see it, but let me just share a little bit about Andrea. She always is perfectly coiffed. Always. I think I've seen her like truly like looking like a regular person like 3 times.
Come on, Kim. All those years of check-in pictures.
Sometimes she has some good makeup on, girlfriend. Or she had eyelashes on. She always did something. She's got a newborn and she's got a full face of makeup. I have nothing, nothing. And I'm like, should I put on a bra?
No, please do not.
Well, if that's not happening. But that's my thoughts. Not like, should I put on some eyelashes?
Oh no. My gosh. It's what makes me feel human sometimes.
I know. And I mean, thank God I don't have eyelashes that, you know, you have to go and put on, because I would look haggard right now, because it has been, I got fortunate. I got my eyebrows done like the day of lockdown.
Oh.
It was like just, you know, random.
You were right on time.
It was just a regular appointment. And then lockdown happened. And then, let me just tell you, Michelle, if you're listening, you are my world. You are my world. And you know it.
You're going to really have a whole new level of appreciation for her after this, huh?
I always did, because first of all, she's funny as shit, but she just always just does a great job. She's been my girl. She, like, if you can do my eyebrows and you don't disappear on me,
yep,
you will be my girl forever.
She's never allowed to retire.
No. My first hairdresser, she had a baby and decided she wanted to be a mommy more than she wanted to do hair. And I was like, I went to her, I was one of the few clients she let come to her house, do her hair. And then I had to finally find somebody because her place is a little too far.
Yeah. Oh no. See, that's a true victim right there.
I know. Oh, there's been plenty of times. I mean, you know, I could get the Academy Award for victim for something.
Really? No, seriously. If it's anything to do with eyebrows, hair,
yes,
Botox, all of it, like if someone bails on you, man, that's a tough situation.
I could get the Academy Award for that. Like right now, my husband literally could get the, he could be like Denzel Washington about hair. He has been, ever since lockdown, he has been complaining about his hair. Since lockdown, he has said to me, he's like, Kim, could you do, he's like, if I bought the the clippers, could you do my hair? I was like, no. I'm like, one, could our marriage survive it? And two, could I ever live down a bad haircut? No.
You're like, I'm the one that has to look at you.
He's been wearing a baseball hat.
Oh.
For like 8 weeks.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've seen all these men with their long hair. They're all starting to look like my husband.
Right. And your husband's like, look at me. I'm a trendsetter.
Yeah. That's right. Man buns for everyone.
Right. He's like, I got a YouTube channel to teach you how to coif it.
That's right. Oh my God. I love it.
All right.
The fact is, your husband needs a haircut. His hair's growing.
Yeah.
And his context, the story you're making up about that is what, Kim?
My story is like, oh, if I do his hair and I do it wrong, we're getting a divorce.
So I'm
just not going to do it.
There you go.
So I totally get it. So thank you for this commercial interruption. But one of the things I wanted to shift to is we talk about self-blame. And one of the biggest self-blames is around your diet, around your exercise. So you make the scale your worth, or what you eat your worth. Mm. So is this still something I can apply the above and below the line?
Oh yeah, for sure. Now I think the it's once again, where are you? So checking in with how your thoughts are going. If you literally write down your thought, so say you get on the scale and it all of a sudden starts this chain of really dark negative thoughts about your self-worth. Write those down. Write them down, look at them, and then ask yourself that question, where am I with this? Well, because of the nature of what we're talking about, that response would be, wow, I'm a below the line right now. I'm contracted. I'm reactive. I'm rigid. I'm feeling angry, tense. I'm below the line. Okay. Can I accept myself in this moment for that right now? And I think that's people always try to jump to the shift.
Yeah.
They miss the acceptance part first, because the shift, yes, we can jump to, okay, change the thought. Where's your mantra? And all of those things are really great, but it skips over the acceptance piece.
Right.
That part is just so, so important, because it drops you into the present, right? Instead of repressing or suppressing how I truly feel right now, I need to love on it. I have to take note of where I am, because without that, then I'm not loving my full self, because this is my experience right now. And so accepting that is the step before you make that shift.
So the asking yourself the question, can I accept where I am right now? That's kind of like the building blocks towards acceptance.
Yes, exactly.
Now, if I, you know, so like sticking on this, if I say, you know, I want to get on the scale and I wanted to say a certain number that I wanted to say, and it doesn't, it's higher than it wanted to be. What if I tell myself, no, I can't accept this?
Well, then that's the mindset that keeps you stuck.
I'm always going to be below the line on this until I start to come around to saying, okay, maybe it's not the number I want, but yeah, it is where I am today.
It is where I am today. And there are a few techniques that you can work on that you can take this further in order to get yourself there. And I didn't make this stuff up. This is Jim Dethmer, Gay Hendrix, and Byron Katie, all of these different professionals.
Oh, I love Byron Katie.
Oh, she's wonderful. Well, let's start with her. She's got a really great,
yes,
simple, profound way to get present. And she calls it the work, which I love.
Yeah.
It's the work.
I love it because, one, first of all, she calls it the work. Like, there's no fanciness.
Yeah.
And it's literally, you can memorize the four questions over and over again. And, you know, it's perfect to get you out of the victim spiral.
Exactly. And she's the one who said suffering is optional.
Yeah.
If that's not the foundation to taking responsibility, I don't know what is.
Yeah. And just an aside, I'll put some links in the show notes, but I've seen her live and she puts up a lot of YouTube videos showing her putting people through the work, and they are, you know, typical problems we all face or typical problems you've heard your friends, clients, so forth say. And when she breaks it down into these four questions, what to talk about, you realize you're like, damn, these four simple questions can literally break apart any bullshit I'm telling myself.
Exactly. Oh yeah. To get over the bullshit. That's right. That's what it is. And the fact that this moves you from suffering to freedom. I mean, in four questions, what the heck?
I've seen her live, and so I've seen her do it on YouTube, and I saw her do it live, and you know, of course, in my mind, I'm like, they're just clips that they've edited together just to make her look really good. And I've seen it. I've seen like this woman, literally, she's in front of the stage. She's like bawling and crying about all the things that her husband did to her. And this was like 20 years ago. And why was this? And why was that? Blah, 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 blah. And like literally Byron took her to the question. And I was like, damn.
Whoa. Oh gosh. Okay. That's on my bucket list to see her live then.
Yeah. It was her last book tour. She came here to Boston and, I was blown away. First of all, I was shocked that I found that she was coming, and it was literally like 4 days later, but she came and she did it. And I was like, all right, this another woman to be like, I bow to you, my queen.
It's amazing. Those questions. Well, you'll definitely be able to speak to this probably, you know, in even more depth than I can, since you've seen it with your own eyes and just how powerful it is. But yes, she is one of the people that says to start off and write down those thoughts, right? So what's the thought you're having? Write it down and then ask those four questions. So the first question is it true?
And it's a yes or no question. It's a yes. The first question, it's yes or no. You can't put any like, well, but blah, blah, blah. It's right. Yes or no.
And then question two, can I know for certain that it's true? Yes or no? The third question is, how do I react to the thought? And the fourth, who would I be without the thought? Whoa. And so that last question, it's so magical because that's where it takes you to the freedom, right?
Right.
Who would I be if I couldn't think this thought? Who would I be if I shifted this thought? Who would I be without this thought? So just an example that can be really applicable to, and I know a mindset that I've fallen into before, you know, my husband doesn't contribute to the household things like I need him to. Is it true? Can I know for certain it's true? How do I react to that thought? Well, I get angry. I try to control everything. I confront him in a really harsh way. Okay, who would I be without the thought? I'd be more open. I'd be more available to my husband. We'd feel closer. We'd be able to communicate about this. And it's not about, a lot of people think that the purpose of this might be to bypass what's really happening. It's not that all of a sudden I shift from my husband's not contributing. He's not taking out the trash. He's not cleaning this. He didn't vacuum. Da, da, da. He's not contributing to the household stuff like I need him to. It's not to all of a sudden go, wow, he's perfect. He's doing everything I need. That's exactly not the purpose of this. But it allows you to down-regulate your system.
Yes.
So that you can move from being reactive and move into your body in a more, it takes you above the line, in other words, from below to above.
Or, you know, it also helps to like de-escalate, right? Because it's really, because like, you know, I gave the example earlier where like in your mind, you're having this full on fight.
Yep.
And it's happening in like 2.2 seconds. And the person who you're mad at doesn't even know what's happening.
Right. And
they might like come home to a shitstorm, or even for your body, you know, the scale, you might be like, oh, I'm totally fine with my weight. I'm happy. I'm body positive.
Yep.
And you step on that scale and you're like, motherfucker. Like, and then you just start to like berate everything. You're like, I'm not a good wife. I'm not a good mom. I'm not da, 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 because the scale told you, you weighed a certain amount that you didn't want to weigh. And and that's one of the reasons why I do like the Byron Katie, because I like the, where am I? Am I above the line, below the line? Because if I don't feel my feelings, I can't get past. And one of the things I've, one of my friends is a spiritual teacher. And so one of the things that she's been teaching is that we don't feel.
Mm-hmm. No.
We don't feel. We bypass our feelings because, you know, I know I am guilty of it. I grew up, my mom's like, rub some dirt in it, like move on. Like, you know, put a Band-Aid on it and go back out and play. Yeah. And, you know, that's just how, you know, the American ethic is. And so now it's more like, yeah, do I have to like cry every day? No, but I have to feel like, okay, this is sad or this is happy or this is joy. Like we are always chasing the next thing and not staying in, as you call it, the present moment. We've already future cast because I stepped on the scale, I'm fat, or my husband doesn't contribute, so he's a loser and I should divorce him. Like we just like totally, you know, jump 40 steps ahead without saying what is really happening.
Exactly. And getting to the root of it. And like we said, it's just, it happens so quickly. And before you know it, until you implement some of these things that get you present, you're so far gone down the rabbit hole that you don't even know how to come back from it or come to a place of resolution with your partner or yourself or your world. And that's victimhood. Like that's not taking responsibility. And so getting present is step one, right? Of taking responsibility is using these techniques and these questions to get present so that you can actually take action in your life from a non-triggered way so that you can get into your body and say, okay, this is really what's happening. If I'm going to, think better, relate better to other people, and have a better relationship with my intuition and my body, IQ, EQ, emotional intelligence, and
right.
body intelligence, then I need to get present and get to know myself and what's really happening. And there are also like different techniques, once again, to do that. So these questions are all helpful ways to kind of get to that place where like, okay, I'm present. And then furthermore, I know, Kim, you know all about breath work.
Yep.
And actually breathing. And one really, really simple technique is called the 4x4. And that is literally 4 seconds of inhaling, followed by 4 seconds of exhaling 4 times. Inhale, exhale, and drawing your attention to the breath. And that is super duper powerful in just making sure you're sitting with those feelings and focusing on the breath so that your body can further downregulate, can further get out of that triggered place. So that's helped me in my personal life, and I definitely teach it to my clients and actually practice it in sessions so they know what that feels like and looks like.
Yeah, I did breath work last year. I went to an event, and this woman, I'll link her in the show notes. Her name's Sam Skelly. Do you know who she is?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So like literally it was an hour of breath work with her. And, you know, one of the things, especially now with COVID, you know, it's really easy to get anxious, right? You know, it's not as bad. I only watch news once a day just so that I feel like I am informed and not an ignorant person. But it was really easy to look at the news and every day that the numbers were getting higher and higher and higher and higher to get overwhelmed, to get triggers like, oh my gosh, like, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I've been telling my clients, breathe, like just literally one, watch the news once a day and two, breathe, just sit, close your eyes for 2 seconds and, you know, do the 4x4 or just sit down for 5 minutes and just focus on, how long can I hold my breath and then just let it go? How long can I hold my breath and just let it go? And just, it helps to like calm the nervous system, because once your nervous system is calmed down, you can think clearer thoughts.
Oh my gosh. And people don't even know what that feels like, right? We are in constant, reaction mode.
Like, yes.
Media and the news, like, we're always just seeing something, reacting, seeing something, reacting.
Right.
And to actually be able to decipher between the outside information and your own self and your own thoughts and what you're empowering yourself to think, that's that they're two very different places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you've got to take these actions in order to get there. So doing that breath work, there are actually three, I think, and Jim Dethmer talks about this, how you have to be emotionally literate before you can be emotionally intelligent. And so being able to name your feelings is important. And there's all sorts of feelings out there, right? Like words that describe how we feel. And knowing how to name them. And the first thing that was life-changing for me is realizing that I was thinking a lot of things and I thought that those were feelings. So if you're finishing or starting a sentence with, I feel that word, that's a thought. That's a thought. I feel that you're not doing what I need you to do. I feel that this virus is completely taking over our world. I feel that I don't have the capability to change the way that I eat. Those are thoughts. So knowing that difference and then saying, okay, what do I feel? And there are three just simple main emotions that it always comes back to. And that's, am I sad? Am I angry? Or am I scared? So answering that question, so I did my breath work, I checked in with where I am, okay, I'm breathing, what do I feel? What is this feeling? And those are all on a spectrum, right? The sad, the angry, and the scared. They're all on a spectrum. Sad could be like, well, I kind of feel like a little mopey. I'm like a little Eeyore today.
Right.
Or like, I am grieving. I'm in the midst of a dark hole. I don't know how to get out. Scared could mean like, well, I'm kind of a little uncomfortable here. Like something's freaking me out. I'm having a panic attack. Like these are on spectrums, but always comes back to, what is the feeling here now? Scared, angry, or sad? And name that. I'm sad right now. I'm scared right now.
Yeah.
And there's no that in those, like you'll notice.
No.
I feel scared. I feel sad. I feel angry. There's no that. There's no that word that transforms it into a thought.
And I love that because, as I use the word that, I love it because it's true. If you think about those three feelings, I can come up with like 50 different derivatives of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it all boils down to those three things. I'm either, you know, pissed off, I'm afraid, or I'm upset.
Yep.
And if I can boil it down to that, then we can start to like, I like to think of like, you know, those Russian dolls that you kind of like, you know, unpack, you know, so yeah. The sad is the biggest doll. Then it's like, okay, so why are, you know, kind of like the Byron Katie. Okay. Why are you sad?
Right.
You know, so we can kind of start to unpack to get to the root of the sadness so that you truly get to the essence of the feeling.
Exactly. And one really great way, listen, when you're not experienced in actually feeling your emotions and you're an expert in suppressing them, sometimes getting to the root of them can feel nearly impossible. And starting with your body is a super powerful way to get to know what's happening there. Like how this feeling manifests inside of yourself. And so that following question, so I did my breathing, what am I feeling? I feel sad. Okay. Now, where is that feeling? Where do you feel it in your body? Well, I feel it in my throat. Like there's a lump and my stomach's kind of churning. Okay. Oh, wow. You feel it in your throat. The next one is, what's it doing? Is it pulsing? Is it burning? Is it growing? Is it dull? What's it doing inside of there? And being able to name that, once again, this is taking your brain from being reactive to a different place of actually putting words to it, dropping into or getting yourself from below to above the line, being open and more receptive to what your experience is rather than suppressing it, feeling uncomfortable or wanting to change it.
Right. And I feel like one of the biggest things I've been talking about lately is having a process. Mm-hmm. And when I have a process, I can make progress. And I love how, you know, Andrea has sat down here and, you know, we've got a process. We've got the building blocks of a process and, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. So like, let's just say what it is. You aren't going to like take radical responsibility for your life overnight. You're not going to listen to this podcast and be like, I'm radically responsible. Like I wish, but it's a process. And you have to have patience. And I get it. I have no patience. Like, I really wish that I was that person who could be like, every time I get angry or sad or lonely, I'm able to say, am I above or below the line? No, I don't do that all the damn time. But I want to say I'm able to do it more than I was in the past. And it's a evolution, right? So it's like, I always say, pick your battles, you know? So if stepping on the scale makes you feel like shit or whatever makes you feel like shit, maybe that's where you start. Yeah. Where do you, and if maybe it's too much of a scab, maybe it's too tender, then you back away. But I want you to, anything that's tender, it needs attention, like, because it's holding you back.
It is. And that you taking responsibility for that is empowering you to make a shift in your life and to be responsible for your own healing. You know, when we fall victim to our circumstances, it quite literally keeps us trapped in that. And in 5-10 years from now, you'll look back and think, wow, I still step on the scale and still hate what I see and still go down the same spiral and still feel unworthy of love, which translates to my relationship because I can't receive love from my spouse and I'm irritable and my kids are learning this from me. It's like it literally affects everything. But the second you drop into, I am responsible for my relationship with what's going on, with the content of my life. I'm responsible for my own healing. Then like it opens you up to a whole new realm of possibilities for your life, which is so beautiful.
Right. And I have one more question to ask you before I end that. So we all know my boyfriend, Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. He says, if you want a better life, you have to ask yourself better questions. So if I'm constantly stuck into the why is this happening to me, everyone's after me, everyone, and I never say to myself, what can I do to change it? Yeah. Maybe it's as simple as you don't associate with people who make you crazy.
Maybe
it's as simple as you tell people they make you crazy. Maybe it's setting up boundaries. Maybe it's trying not to be perfect. Whatever it is, like to see a change, you must make a change.
Yes. And not only what can I do, which is amazing, but I've also practiced asking what is this teaching me?
Yes.
What's the lesson here? And I used to get in this really difficult place with my relationships with people where I felt like people were just taking from me. And I felt so victim to that. Like, you suck my energy out of me. And as soon as I shifted to what is this teaching me? Well, it's damn sure teaching me how to set boundaries. Like this issue keeps coming up in my world because it's teaching me that there's pain here. I feel angry. That's the feeling. Well, angry translates to something needs to be stopped and boundaries needs to be set. Fear translates to I need to pay attention, wake up. Sadness translates to something needs to be grieved or let go of. So I'm freaking pissed off that these people are taking advantage of me and stealing all of my energy and I have nothing left for myself and you're just taking from me. Okay, well, I feel pissed off, so something needs to be stopped and boundaries need to be set. So what am I needing to learn here? What's this teaching me? Okay, boundaries need to be set. Now, your question, what can I do about that?
Right.
Implement, right? Take action.
Right. And action, you know, I think what stops a lot of people from action, people think action has to be this like big thing. Action isn't big. Mm-mm. Action is literally small steps. It's, you know, I always try to get my clients, oops, hold on. Okay. No, cancel. I try to get my clients to think about small steps, right? Think about a baby. A baby doesn't immediately come out of the womb and say, hey, I'm going to eat real food.
Right.
It starts with breastfeeding. Then eventually, like when your kid is ready, you're going to introduce the soft food. And then they're going to introduce the even a little more solider food. But it's like, it's a evolution. And so I always say, what feels easy? You know, so like for you, you're talking about, you know, people taking advantage of you. It's like, maybe it's people who you don't see regularly that you'll start there.
Yeah.
Versus if it's someone, say it's your mom, say it's your sister, say it's your brother, you, not that this is for Andrea's family. It's not you. just so you know, yeah. I gotta put that disclaimer out there, but you know, for others, it could be, you know, maybe your sister always dumps her kids over at your house and you really can't say no just yet. You need to like work through that so you don't cause this rift in your family.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. And literally, Kim, something I've had to do from the beginning of my coaching with you is sometimes I don't feel like working out. Okay, well, what's one small step I can do right now? Well, I know I can stand up off this couch. Okay. Right. Then once I'm standing, well, I think I can put my shoes on.
Right.
Okay, put your shoes on. Now I can step outside into my garage. But that idea of jumping straight into squats felt so daunting, right?
Right.
One step at a time. Yeah.
Right. And you know, for you and other new mommies, I'm like, you gotta like let go of, you know, Andrea non-kid, because you're Andrea mommy now. And so, and so like, you know, your new normal is you used to be able to wake up and go to the gym and do whatever the hell you wanted, but your kid didn't sleep last night. So your plan to go to the gym, that just went right out the window.
That hit me in my soul, Kim, because I'm working through the taking responsibility here and now, because, you know, those first probably 3 months of driver's life, I was in this place of feeling victim to having this child, right?
Right.
Like, I can't do what I want to do. My life looks different. How can this happen to me? I'll never have accomplished any of my goals now. Why is this happening? And shifting that into, okay, hold on a second, right? Asking myself, where am I right now? I'm pretty reactive. Do my breathing. What am I feeling? Can I accept myself here? And then asking myself those questions, what can I do now?
Right. And you might have to scale it back. You know, it could be very simple as, or you know what? I ain't feeling squats today, but I could put driver in the stroller and we can go for a walk around the neighborhood. Yeah. Great. Done. I checked the box. I moved. Like I challenge my new mommies, because it's like, you're not going to go back to a 2-hour workout probably until your kid maybe is in elementary school.
Right.
Oh. But if I set that expectation, but like, hey, every once in a while, you're like, oh shit, he did like a 4-hour nap today. I'm in the bonus round. You're like, all right, what can I do?
Right.
Or maybe he gets to the age where like you can, you know, do stuff in your garage and he's just, you know, playing around with his Fisher-Price toys and happy as a clam. Mm-hmm. You never know. It just depends on the day. And so, like you said, you have to, you know, your new evolution of your life. And so it's like, in this evolution, this is what it is. And I have to accept I can do what I can do. You know, one of my really good friends, Carrie, she had twins. And she's like, I used to be a two a day workout. And she's like, I had twins. And she's like, that was my lesson to slow my ass down. And she's like, now I'm content with 3 days a week. I'm content that it's literally in my garage. And at least 10 minutes into my workout, I'm yelling at my kids to stop doing whatever.
Right. Yeah. And it's a lot of grace, right? It's acceptance. It's grace. It's real meeting yourself where you are, doing what you can, and knowing that that's enough, you know?
Right.
That's just enough.
And that's radical responsibility, just accepting what is. And knowing that you're doing your best.
Oh, yeah. And I love that we just this whole conversation, Kim, because I think radical responsibility, it makes people cringe sometimes. Like we, you know, started off saying, somehow they think, you know, they have to take the blame for something that tragic that happened to them, or that's really scary. Oh, radical responsibility, like somebody's like slamming the hammer down. You need to be responsible for this. And it's actually a very gentle process for just owning your relationship with what's happening in the world around you, and owning your healing and how you're going to deal with it. And so I think that this is just, I know this conversation was good for me.
Yeah, this conversation was good for me. And for, you know, those of you guys listening, you know, it's a process. Like I said, don't feel like you need to jump into the deep end. Start in the baby end of the pool and just, you know, make it simple. Is it, are you pissed off that your husband doesn't unload the dishwasher? Maybe that's just mine. Or, you know, maybe it is, you know, having the grace that you're not going to have a 2-hour workout and you're going to have to be content with just walking around the neighborhood. Whatever it is, just start small. There's like, I mean, this, I have like 2 pages of notes. So there's so many different tools that we've given you to just jump in, to explore, to use. You know, Byron Katie, she was the one who shifted my whole world, because I didn't realize how much of a freaking victim I was until I read her stuff. Yeah. So I want to thank Andrea so much for coming on. But before we go, what's one thing that makes you feel magical?
One thing that makes me feel magical. I don't know if this is cheesy or not.
I love cheese. Bring it on.
But it's taking responsibility.
And perfect.
It really just is, because that empowers me. It helps move me from that victim mindset into realizing that this world and this beautiful life and my relationships with others and my relationship with myself is totally up to me. And that's, to me, it's priceless and magical.
Yeah, I love that answer. It's not cheesy. It's absolutely right. It's like, we all have our own inner magic and we just have to decide that we want it.
Yeah. It's ours for the taking.
It's totally ours for the taking. So where can my magic makers find you on the socials?
On Instagram, I'm Andi, A-N-D-I _ Ruth, R-U-T-H. On Facebook, which I can't change the name. I can't bring myself to change the name, but I have a page called Andrea's Tale of a Tight Tush. So you can find me there too.
I can't find myself to change the name.
I started that at the beginning of my journey with you, Kim.
Now, the question I have is, you know, if someone's like, you know what, how can I, you know, if they want to work with you in a therapeutic kind of way, mm-hmm. they can reach you at either the Facebook or the Instagram?
They sure can. I also have an email at andrea@friendswoodfamilies.com. And my website is friendswoodfamilies.com.
Perfect. This has been awesome. This is just more than I've even expected it to be. I want to thank you so much for taking the time with me. And for those listening, please, 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 you know, just do what you can. That's all I ask. And if this resonated with you, do me a favor, screenshot this and tag someone you know that needs to hear this, if they're sick of beating themselves up. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Andrea. It has been a great show.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.